Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Now with McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Hi, folks. Welcome to another one of our political chats. I'm joined by Dan, and I thought what we would do is a bit of an autopsy on the recent local elections results, because there are, in fact, I think, lessons in them that people aren't taking, because the numbers are quite staggering. Like the swings in the seats and whatnot have been quite staggering. But I think there's information in there that I think is worth teasing out to properly understand, because actually, I don't think this was quite the storming victory that it should have been, nor was it quite the staggering defeat that it should have been.
Right.
So we'll begin with how the public felt about it. Now, this was basically the most important thing that was talked about all last week, which is actually quite unusual for local elections. Local elections have usually about a 30% turnout, and nobody cares for some reason.
On a normal year, the local elections get mentioned on the news as a bit, and then it's over in a day, and nobody normal talks about them ever.
Yes, but this was all last week's discussion, and also it was the discussion leading up to them as well, because it was like, well, when May the 7th hits and yes, we get whacked, Keir Starmer's out. So they were very present in people's minds, and the turnout was much higher than usual. The turnout was somewhere north of 40% overall.
That's not far off general election territory.
Exactly. The last general election was 59%.
Right.
So it's really not terribly far off, which is very unusual.
I mean, sometimes local elections, you get like 20%. It's sometimes even lower than that.
Oh, yeah. There are candidates who win on 15%. So, you know, like the unbelievably low turnout, an unbelievably scattered, fragmented landscape. So some of these councillors will have been elected with literally 1,000 votes in a constituency of, I don't know, 50,000 or however much it was. They've been treated as being very important by the political class. So they've been in the media, they've been on the minds of all the politicians, because they're being treated as indicative of a change in the wind. And yes, I think there's something to this. There's, you know, there's definitely, it's fair for them to see this as a kind of bellwether.
Well, everybody's trying to figure out how politics shakes out, because as we've said many times, you're not supposed to have six parties in a 2.5 party system.
Six competitive parties.
Yes. And so we need to know what is going to be the shape of politics going forward, quite aside from the issue of is this going to get Starmer out, which would have motivated a lot of people just by itself.
Yeah, and so this has been, as you can see, quite widely understood. What did most people hear about last week? The local elections. This has been dominating the news cycle, which in normal times it really wouldn't, because it would have been insanely boring. But at least there was something quite exciting going on here. So these are the final local election results in England. Now, as you can see, it is basically everything was going in the direction that it was predicted to have gone for. So Reform have got 1,454 councils, up 1,452, because only had two going into this. Labour have got 1,068 councillors, down 1,498 councillors. The Lib Dems are on 844, having gone up 155. The Conservatives are on 801, having gone down 563. The Greens are on 587, having gone up 441. And the Independents are on 213, having gone up 35.
Can I do a bit of analysis on this?
Of course.
So Reform, absolutely solid.
Yep.
But they were expected to get about 1,600 to maybe 1,800 at the upper end.
Yeah, well, let's look at the predictions, remember, that we covered last week. This was the aggregate predictions that Stats for Lefties has done from eight different polling experts. So as you can see,
yes,
if the average result is, well, Reform are supposed to be north of 1,600, the Greens north of 600, and Labour losing 1,800 and Conservatives losing 760.
Yes.
Well, actually, this is not a great result.
It's not. And I tell you why it's even more worrying, because I'm sure you've got a bit of restore stuff in here that yep. we might come to. You could understand it if Restore won their seats, but Reform, where there was no Restore candidate, polled back at where they were before Restore launched, which is to say something like 31-32% in the polls.
Yeah.
I suspect when we dig into this, I mean, I haven't done the maths myself, but I suspect you have, it's not going to come out at 31-32%, which is really where they should have been. So it's more than just Restore have knocked the shine off. It's that people have fundamentally reassessed their view of Reform. So the taking the Tories, the attacks on Rupert Lowe, they're saying, you know, we've got to basically transition into being a Muslim nation and we've got to get them to vote for us when the time comes. It genuinely has had an impact. Now, I know the boomer voter, people get upset with that. The median boomer voter who doesn't watch anything online and doesn't go online is going to be unaware of this, but that's not outright majority territory.
Well, let me pause you on that.
Okay,
because you're completely correct, but you're right. I have got the exact numbers.
Okay,
so what I think the thing to take from this is. What we can see is that from these numbers compared to these numbers, and remember, this was just the average. I mean, there were estimates yes. where Reform would get 1,800 seats
yep.
and that Labour would lose all of their seats, basically, almost all of them.
Well, and they kept 1,000. So, I mean, actually, if you go back to the one before,
yep.
in terms of absolute results, I mean, I know a lot of Labour heartlands were including this, but they still got 1,000 seats, right?
Yeah.
They're still out. They are still in contention.
There are bigger wipeouts on record.
Oh yeah,
I mean, like Margaret Thatcher lost over 1,000 council seats
yes.
in her elections. John Major lost 2,000 and didn't
yep.
resign. Like there are much bigger wipeouts than this in British political history within living memory.
Yes.
So for everyone saying, "Oh, this is going to be bad," I mean that is bad, but it could have been worse.
Oh yeah,
and Reform did well. They could have done a lot better.
Well, and that's what the Conservatives are trading on. So, you know, the Conservatives, look, they had a shocking, sure. shocking result. They're down almost 600 seats. They were expected to do a lot worse.
Yes, they really
What were they
were.
Expected to do?
So the Conservatives were expected
yeah, down to 760.
Nearly 800.
And it was only 500.
They failed to lose 200 seats, which is a lot.
Yep.
And they had some gains in other areas, actually.
Yes.
Labour failed to lose 300 seats, which everyone yep. was expecting them to lose. And Reform failed to gain 200 seats, but also the Greens.
Yes.
But for all of this, green wave failed to gain 100 seats. Yeah. So what we can read from this, I think, is that actually Reform and the Greens both underperformed.
Yep.
And Labour and the Conservatives both failed to collapse in the way that everyone expected them to.
Yep. Lib Dems did slightly better than average, I suspect.
The Lib Dems did exactly as predicted.
Oh, okay.
152 expected, 155 got.
Okay, but they held it in a six-party environment. They held up.
Yes.
Which is actually something just yes. by itself. Yeah, Greens, like you say. I mean, these were supposed to be the emergent second party.
Yeah. Oh, sorry. The Greens only got 441, so they're 200 seats down as well. They were meant okay. to gain 600. So they're 200 seats down as well, not 100 seats down. That's just 100 in total.
So even though we're framing this, or the whole discussion is framing this as a sort of Labour wipeout and a sort of Conservative wipeout, I mean, yeah, but not entirely.
Put simply,
yeah.
If I was Zach Polanski or Nigel Farage, I wouldn't be thrilled with these results.
No.
Right?
No, not at all.
If Reform had got 1,700 seats, I'd be over the moon. I'd be like, yep, there we go. We outperformed. We exceeded expectations. If the Greens had got the 600 they were expecting, I'd have been like, Zach Polanski, yeah, we outperformed.
Yes.
But the thing is, the polling has been in for quite a long time, right?
Baked in.
It's completely yeah. baked in at this point. And so, actually, this is more indicative of a general decline of both the Green and Reform when they're meant to have the wind in their sails and they're meant to be carrying all before them.
Yeah, I mean, we can't deny they've both had a good election.
Yeah.
They've both got momentum. but it is not the momentum that they were expected to have.
No. And as you pointed out, Reform only won here 28% of the seats.
Okay.
Now, that's...
But hang on, that's in line with their polling.
Very in line with their polling, actually.
But I mean, just to restate my point, so I'm absolutely clear on this. Their polling dipped after Restore came out because a lot of people said, well, actually, no, I'll have silk rather than cotton.
Yep.
But why did those people not lend their vote to Reform in anywhere apart from Great Yarmouth, where they didn't have a choice?
A great question. I mean, and that was only 10 seats. Well, 9 seats for the actual councillors, and then one for the county council.
The vast majority of people did not have a Restore candidate to go to.
No.
So you start to ask the question, I'm sure we come on to this, is what is Restore actually doing? Are they taking votes from Reform, which is what everybody wants to say, or are they activating voters?
Well, we'll come to this.
Right.
So as you can see, this, like I said, it was 28% of the actual seats available that Reform won, which is not bad or anything like that. Obviously, they're the biggest winners of the night.
Yeah. But
again, if I was Nigel Farage, I'd be like, well, I thought we were going to do more than that.
Yes.
Right? I would be thinking, I thought we were going to do more than that. And that's because it's down from the 2025 local election results. You may remember, if I can stop zooming out and just scroll down, there we go. You may remember that they absolutely wiped the floor with everyone here, getting 41% of all of the councillors.
Which would have been at the top end of their polling for the time.
Exactly, when they were at 31%
right.
in the polls.
I mean, that would have been the outlier polls were put in there. So
Exactly. There were outlier polls that put them near 40. And so
they actually did it.
Exactly. So
right.
as you can see, this is something of a degradation in their vote share and their position.
Yeah, just a bit. I mean, from 41 to 28, I mean, that...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be, like I said, if I was Nigel Farage, if I was in Reform, I'd be like, okay, well, we did win, but this signals problems ahead and rough seas ahead.
Mm.
Right? This is not the great win we thought it was going to be. Sky did their projection here from, okay, well, what do these results mean? So they've rounded up to 27% for Reform. So that's the national equivalent vote, which is not great, 27% overall, but slightly above their polling average.
And those numbers are good, are they? The Conservatives got 20%.
Yep, the Conservatives got 20%, which is them overperforming.
I mean, no wonder Kemi Badenoch's really jubilant at the moment, because for the Conservatives, I mean...
This was actually quite good for the Conservatives.
Yeah, I mean, they gave us complete betrayal for 14 years.
I know!
And mass immigration, and they're now led by a Yoruban...
And I think it's Yoruban, but yeah.
Yoruban. Knows, yeah, yeah. I my Star Wars names, I get a bit mixed up. Yeah. But they still did that.
Yeah,
that boomer vote is sticky.
It really is, and it's not just the boomer vote either.
Yeah.
I think there's a significant ethnic minority vote that's gone to the Conservatives actually. This is Sky's projection from these results, which is actually pretty in line with the polling that we've been covering. It's a hung parliament. Reform 284 seats, Labour 110, Conservatives 96, Lib Dems 80, and the Green Party on 13, right?
I can just imagine Jacob Rees-Mogg dancing around his living room to this because Conservative Reform Pact.
It's the only way forward. It guarantees it, basically. This is not a good result for Reform, in my opinion. And also, Reform underperformed in London. There we go. That's a lot of Conservative seats. Farringdon, at the start of the year, said that Reform was going to win Bexley, Bromley and Hillingdon. But the Tories held Bexley, Bromley and Hillingdon, Kensington and Chelsea, and they won Westminster. So no wonder Kemi Badenoch was absolutely jubilant. This is what I mean about there's a lot more ethnic minority vote going to the Conservatives, because they're sick of Labour, but the Greens are mental.
Yes.
And the Tories do have an African woman leading them.
I mean, to be fair, not all of the immigrants are, you know, just out for the gibs.
No, not all.
They're not all on welfare. Some of them actually... In fact, if you want to hear hardline talk on immigration... Ask an immigrant who's been established here for some time.
Ask a London taxi driver.
A London taxi driver, somebody who's had an Indian restaurant for the last 30 years.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
These guys would make us blush compared to what they would say about recent immigrants.
Oh, yeah.
And I guess they're not going to go to Reform because
They're the anti-immigrant party, ostensibly.
Yeah. And the media pushes the line that they're going to do the re-migration. They're not, but they pushes the line. So I suppose that naturally makes them conservatives, yeah.
Yeah, so the Tories have done better in London than expected. I mean, that's not very much reform in London, actually. They should have had all of those blue areas should have been reform. You should have been waxing them there.
I mean, I suppose if you're living in London, you are more likely than not to be a an anywhere than a somewhere.
Correct. But it kind of implies that Lalia Cunningham's Indian Parade was not the vote winner that she thought it was going to be.
No. Right.
Then you have Essex. Now, reform did well in Essex. That is true. These are the predictions based against the actual results. But you can see 58 predicted, 53 actual declared. 13 on the Conservatives. You can see that, again, the Conservatives have overperformed here. They were supposed to have 4.
Right.
They've kept 13. So the Conservatives have overperformed. It's not brilliant, but it's, again, and reform has gained control of the council, but it's not the worst thing that could have happened.
So, I mean, at the last election, we were talking about zero seating the Conservatives.
Yes.
And one of the talking points that we had was, we were comparing it to the election of, what was it, 1912, something like that, where we're saying that the Conservatives basically got wiped out and the Liberals came in. Mm. And then actually the Liberals managed to make themselves even more hated than the Tories. And what actually happened was the Tories survived.
Yep.
And the Liberals got wiped out and replaced by the Green Party. And we speculated...
Labour Party.
By the Labour Party, yeah. And so we speculated, as hated as the Tories are, is it possible we're going to get another 1912 and actually it's Labour that wipe themselves out and get replaced with the Greens?
Which we'll get to soon.
Yeah.
Because I agree. I really think the Conservative cockroach is going to crawl out of the irradiated ruins and live to betray us another day.
Tories. Once you've got an infestation of Tories, hard to get rid of them.
In fact, we've not found a way to do it.
But they are the 40K orcs. I've got to get the reference in there.
It's mad, isn't it? Anyway, so like I said, this not great for the Conservatives, but not at all the total wipeout. Yeah. And good for reform, but not the staggering victory that Nigel Farage was expecting. And so his view that we've absolutely walked it. I mean, we'll watch.
Well, he has to say that, but...
Well, yeah, I guess.
Good boys, Essex! Big time! This is a celebration, and what a remarkable couple of days this has been. We're seeing.
So you can see the jubilance there. Right?
Yeah.
But if I were him, I would be less jubilant about this, because, like, he's fond of telling us, "Oh, we've led the country in 200 polls." It's like, okay, but why haven't the Conservatives been buried?
I mean, back when he was polling average of about 31%, you started to hear reform insiders talk about Keir Starmer's Ming Vahl's strategy, which is, we're cruising to victory.
Farage's Ming Vahl's strategy.
Well, no, it was Starmer's originally.
Oh, right.
Well, it was Starmer's originally when he was under Rishi Sunak. And that's where the phrase came from.
Yeah.
And reform started picking up on this terminology and say, look, what we've got to do is, we are out in front, but we've got to walk across an ice rink carrying a Ming Vahl's. Mm-hmm. And we've got to make sure that we do it without dropping it. What it actually looks like, it's more like he's carrying a Ming Vahl through, wading through treacle. Because it's getting harder and harder and he's slowing down.
Yes. And there's 3 long years to go.
Yes.
Assuming that...
What are we, 2 years in? And he's already slowing down already.
Exactly. Now, he does make some fair points. Betrayed voters have left Labour for good. This is probably true in the North, right? The South, obviously, not really a Labour voting heartland, but the betrayed Labour voters in the North probably have left Labour forever. And I, like I've said before, I think that's Farage's one genuine contribution, no matter what happens.
Yes,
is to break the two-party stranglehold here, right?
So, Labour, and it's in the name, always used to be the party of the working class, and then it did this thing where we're going to be the party of the working class and the benefits class, which is, of course, a thing that didn't exist back in 1912.
Because we've created the benefits class.
Labour are now fighting with the Greens for the benefit class. But yeah, it does look like the working class.
Well, it's not just the benefit. It's the working class, the chav underclass, the immigrant underclass, and the managerial elite that Labour have tried to cobble together.
Yes, they are keeping the managerial elite, but
it's just them left.
But the working class proper
Yeah.
They've gone to Farage.
Correct.
Yes.
But how long are they going to go to Farage for? Now, Farage himself thinks that these people are now diehard reform voters and they're going to be with him forever.
Well, that's what...
more than Boris Johnson was ever able to do. And I really believe that these voters for reform are there for keeps.
This is a really...
No, you can't think like that in politics. That is exactly what Blair...
Rees-Mogg thought.
Well, Blair thought it with the middle-class voters. Boris thought it with the red wall. He said, okay, these people are, you know, these people are Tory now. It didn't last 18 months with him.
Yeah.
Let alone 5 years.
Literally, it's the thing that Boris thought.
Yes.
We've won the North. It's like, no.
Yeah, no. They have picked you for now.
They are using you as a cudgel against the Labour Party.
Yes.
That's what they're doing. Mm. And this is what the focus group say. So this is Luke Trill from More in Common. And he said, the focus groups basically, such is people's frustration with the government, they're willing to give it a go. Mm. Right? And I saw him on Sky News. I couldn't find the clip saying this. And essentially, the Northern voters are tentatively voting for Farage. They are not dyed-in-the-wool converts to the Farageist Reform Party. Mm. What they are doing is saying, well, we just need something that's not Labour.
Right? Yeah.
We've tried the Tories. Boris betrayed us, which obviously the Tories betrayed you. But we still have this Labour problem where it's not even that they're just stabbing us in the back. They just, you know... I mean, there's so many knives in the back of the Northern voter at this point. I don't know where they're going to go next. But they're trying Farage. And so this is the disaffected working-class Northerners and middle-class Brexiteer Southerners who are tentatively voting for Farage. Mm. It's not a landslide like he was predicting.
Well, I mean, by very definition, I mean let's go back a bit, right? Go back to the 1950s. Mm-hmm. You were kind of baked into it. So if you were a young Tory, you probably met your wife by going to a young Conservatives event.
Right? Yeah.
Your friends were in it. You know, your network, your work network, your golf course.
You'd go to the local Conservative club.
Yes, you were baked into it. And on the left, the same thing. You went to your working man's club. You went to your... there was a whole... I mean, it wasn't just your politics. It was your life was built into these things. And so they were genuinely... difficult to extract yourself from, switching from one to the other. It wasn't just, oh, I've changed my mind. Yeah. It's I'm going to upheave my life and my social sphere and thing. And that's why it kind of mattered. But these days, I mean, who relies on the Conservatives, Labour or Reform for anything outside of what they happen to believe at the time?
Interesting that, isn't it?
Yeah.
And that's a great point because Farage is still thinking of the previous paradigm where these changes would be unthinkable.
Yes.
But clearly, that paradigm no longer obtains.
There's no cost attached to switching these days.
Exactly. And so, but moreover, the sort of leap into the unknown means, well, okay, I might be with the Conservatives, I might be with Reform, but who knows, I might just keep going. You don't know. And so this overconfidence on the part of Farage in the face of what was not a landslide is remarkable. I mean, like he says at the end of his Times article here, he says at the end, quote, the establishment thought Reform UK had peaked. Last week, the British public said otherwise. Not true.
No, that's not what happened.
It's literally that you have peaked according to what the British public have said. You got 41% of the local elections in 2025. Mm. Now you got 28% in the local elections in 2026. That's a peak. You're on the decline.
Yeah, and it's still good enough to be the largest party in the hung parliament. But
exactly. You'll be the
largest. You're not storming to a win anymore.
Exactly. And moreover, when people are actually speaking to these focus groups, they're saying, look, we're just going to give it a shot because anything's better than Labour. We tried Tories, they betrayed us. Now we're going to try Reform. Hopefully they don't betray us. The sort of, you know, wide-eyed Northern voters say. And so Farage is completely misreading the room, saying, oh, they're, we've got them for keeps. You don't know that. Only until you fail them, basically. So, like I said, wasn't a landslide. They are on the decline. But where was there a landslide? Well, Great Yarmouth is where there was a landslide, right? Now, this is remarkable. So in 2024, when Rupert was elected, he got, as you can see from here, there was a turnout of 56%, 55.6%. He got 35% of the votes, which was 14,000 votes. Now, that's a significant... I mean, that's basically... what Farage is looking at now. Well, it's less than what Farage is looking at now, actually. But that was
this is Rupert's election, is it?
Is Rupert's election in 2024.
Well, and also, I mean, so, yes, some people have heard of him as the Southampton chairman.
Sure, but it's minimal.
He wasn't a big name. He wasn't a name in politics at all, really.
He wasn't a name in Norfolk politics.
In fact, we did the election thing, and we had our eyes on a few MPs. Mm. He wasn't one of them. So a few MP candidates. He wasn't one of them.
No,
he came out of the blue.
Tyson Farage.
Yes. Yeah, and there was a couple of others that I remember being in that green screen thing, keeping an eye on. None of them won. It was him and a complete unknown I forget his name now, but that random chap who got in.
Oh, what, James McMurdo?
Yes, that's the one.
Yeah, he was another surprise.
So he kind of came out of nowhere. So that result here is a result of the reform name at the time, plus that he obviously actually knows how to run a local campaign.
Yes. And so 35% of the votes, 14,000 votes, 55% turnout. That's fine. That was enough to make him an MP. Mm-hmm. Then, of course, Farage kicked him out of the party and tried to get him put in jail. But he did better in the local elections by quite a long shot, by quite a wide margin. So he, in total, Great Yarmouth first, there are loads of these. But, I mean, these are staggering numbers, right? So the average, in fact, I've got a graph here. So the average in all of these nine wards where Great Yarmouth first stood, they got an average of 46% of the votes. They got in total 15,600 votes, so more than 1,000 extra votes, with a 45% or 46% average turnout. So a lower turnout, more votes, higher share of the vote.
But the fascinating thing about this, right? Look at the second and third and so on places. The Greens still did decently. They took a dip.
Yep.
The Conservatives still did decently. Yep. Reform still did decently.
Yep.
Right. So yeah, okay, they're not. So it's 20% as opposed to 28% across the country as a whole. But what this is telling me is
Rupert didn't get 8% of the vote.
Yes.
Like, he didn't split the vote.
Yes.
You don't know where these people came from.
Well, clearly, they weren't existing voters. You can't make the numbers add up any other way. He's activating non-voters to come in. And you can tell because Reform are holding up. Yeah, okay, they dropped from 28% to 20%.
Yeah.
So some of those are Reform voters.
Yeah.
But a hell of a lot of them are just people who
If we just assume there's a one-to-one turnout here, right?
Yeah.
So remember, in 2024, he got 14,000 votes. Mm. So basically, about 7,500 of those votes have gone over. Okay, but where did the other 8,000 come from?
Yeah.
Right? We know that people who were not voting, and like voter turnout's up. It should have been in 2021 with the last Great Yarmouth local elections. It was 29% turnout.
Sounds normal for a local election?
Completely normal. Completely normal for
what
the disaffected public. 45%. 46%.
You just don't get that in a local election.
It's mad. It's kind of unheard of. And so, okay, well, there's another 8,000 votes that have turned up for Restore Britain on top of the half of the Reform vote that went over to him. Well, you've got to explain where they came from. And it's one of those things where it's like, right, okay, something really mad has happened here. Because, I mean, the total number of ballots cast in those nine wards was just under 34,000 anyway. So
that's mad for a local election.
It's mad. But in the general election, it was 72,000 in total cast. So more was to gain here.
Yeah.
He got more of the share of the vote, more actual, just absolute number here. So this is where the real energy
is. So the interesting thing is, right, this as politics is not even unprecedented. If you go back to the Brexit referendum, Dominic Cummings, and he's incredibly smart, he's a bit of a genius, how did he win it, right? He won it by activating people who had never voted before or hadn't voted for decades. And the political class, they simply couldn't see this coming because they were looking at their focus groups of likely voters. They were looking at polling of likely voters. And they were looking at Twitter and they were looking at the social media they go to. Dominic Cummings wasn't doing any of that. He was on Facebook, where the non-voters are, where the normies are. He was activating voters who hadn't voted before. Yeah. And He won, and it so shocked the political system because they simply couldn't imagine that the thing could have happened. And then, having made that genius political move, the most earth-shattering discovery of British politics in the post-war period, which you could activate non-voters, what did the political class do with that information? They immediately forgot it. they went straight back to looking at likely voters.
Yes.
And the first time somebody's done anything with it, Rupert Lowe.
An unbelievable victory as well. Right?
Yes.
So, I mean, one thing, like you say, when basically half of the electorate is checked out and a guy turns up with a party saying, look, this is going to be called Great Yarmouth First, subsidiary of Restore Britain, and we are going to represent you in your politics. Well, even if you'd halved the Great Yarmouth First vote, they'd still have won.
Well, and all the other ones, right, including Reform, when you get into what they really believe, it is a long version of, look, I know there's a fix everything button, but here's why we can't press
it. Yeah, we're never going
to
press it.
We're never going to press it. To do my Farage, it's impossible. It's literally impossible. Shaking of the head. It can't be done. No, we've got to adapt. Or by 2050, you know, if we still haven't pushed the button, well, we won't be able to push the button. And Rupert's
can't
just
declare
come
war on Islam because we'll lose.
Yes, and Rupert's just come along and said, "I tell you what, I'm going to push the button."
Yes,
and then all these non-voters are like, "Oh yeah, I vote for that."
That sounds brilliant.
Yes.
Anyway, look, and this goes for every single ward in which he won.
Yeah.
Right. Some of them were won on an absolute majority of 51%. Right.
You don't even 50%. See that in a general election.
You have to have the most kind of homogenous, immigrant-dominated ward, or you would have to have like a student ward for it to be like majority Labour or Greens or something like that. Like to manage to get the and. Great Yarmouth is obviously a very right-wing place. You know, it's a very left-behind coastal town, 90%+ white English. Mm. So to get them actually to rally to this degree, so an average of 46%, like I said, some of them are like 51%, 50%, absolute majorities, is just remarkable. Mm. And it just goes to show, it's not that they're not interested in politics, it's they just don't feel anyone's on their side.
There's no point. Yeah.
Exactly, anyone represents them. So just amazing. They even got some positive coverage on ITV. This is very, like I say positive, but we'll watch a little bit. But you can tell that this is like fair.
Rupert Lowe's party has achieved a remarkable set of results in England's local elections. Great Yarmouth First, a local arm of his Restore Britain party, has won all 10 seats it contested in the area. Lowe, who's the MP for Great Yarmouth, only started the party last year after being kicked out of Reform UK. So to gain so many councillors so quickly is an achievement. Restore Britain is polling at 4% nationally, but Lowe says he intends to stand candidates across the country by the next general election, which is expected in 2029. Will you be voting for them?
Yes.
Didn't call him a racist.
No, that's true.
Didn't call him far right.
I mean, the interesting thing is Lowe has done everything he's done whilst having a media blackout. So if they actually start covering him, what can he do then? Probably quite a lot.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's just remarkable. So let's go back to the Tories for a bit then. So Richard Tice flatly rejected a coalition with the Tories, which is a strange thing to do.
Yeah, but he's doing it in instalments by just inviting them all in. So,
well, yeah, there is that.
What's the line here?
Yes, we're not going to do a deal with soggy Lib Dems pretending to be Tories.
No, we're just gonna give them turquoise rosettes instead. It's like.
But also, okay, well, let's assume you're not going to do a deal. Right. Well, that means we don't get a government.
Yes.
Right? You're not getting government with numbers like these. And
yes.
You must know this. And in fact, Farage knows this. He doesn't rule it out. He said, quote, "I find it a highly undesirable idea." And no doubt you find it a highly undesirable idea because you should be miles in front of this point. You should be looking at forming a government. So, let's pitch from here to the government at the moment. How are things going for the Starminator? Now, this was a YouGov poll taken just after the local elections, the 10th or 11th of May. And you can see Reform have actually had a 3-point bump in YouGov. And YouGov normally have them about 25%. So that's
okay.
That's pretty good. Restore is still on 3%. So they're down minus one, but it's not terrible. But the Conservatives on 17%, Greens on 16%, and Labour down minus two. To 16%. Your party is still not, and your party in Restore Britain still not being prompted for some reason, even though Restore just had this amazing victory. And so things are not going great in Labour.
No.
Everyone can tell things aren't going great. And at the time of recording,
yes,
things are tense in the Starmer bunker.
I was just looking down just now to check to see if Starmer had been
kicked
had
out.
Resigned.
Yeah.
But I mean when you say things are not going well in Labour, I literally have to keep checking my screen to see if the Prime Minister's resigned. That's some indication of how badly it's going.
Yeah, I mean, it's going really badly. I mean, it just looks like they're all just like, look, we think our time's up. Shabana Mahmood, two other senior cabinet ministers, look, just set out a timeline to resign. You've got
that would be Ed Miliband and who's the Home Secretary? Yvette Cooper.
Yep. Shabana Mahmood's the Home Secretary. Yvette Cooper's a different one.
Oh, no, she's Foreign Secretary now.
Foreign Secretary, yes. That's right. Anyway, so at the time of recording, there were 86. In fact, I've got that written down as 81, so this has been updated. 86 Labour MPs who have demanded that Starmer quit. But these people don't have a champion yet. So to actually force Starmer out, they would need to trigger a leadership election, and they would all have to back the same candidate.
Well, it was that I'm getting her name wrong. Rose West,
Catherine West. Yeah, she decided to be reticent about this and not put herself.
Well, that's because she's Labour and she's not particularly bright. And when it was explained to her that because she's a Burnham supporter, when it was explained to her that if you force an election now, Burnham isn't actually an MP.
Yes.
And therefore, you're going to hand it to either Wes Streeting or Angela Rayner. She was like, oh, bugger, and then had to quickly retract it.
Yes.
But
the point is,
hey,
okay,
you can find somebody.
You would think so, wouldn't you? So we've got 86 Labour MPs who are like not having it. We've got cabinet members resigning. Jess Phillips, for example, the Women and Girls Safeguarding Minister.
I wouldn't even sack her.
Well, what's interesting, I love that she's got her own photo on there. Like Jess Phillips, the known... a modest person.
If I ever get headed notepaper, I'm going to put my own picture on it.
It's wild, isn't it? Anyway, she's resigned. And then you've got Alex Davies-Jones, who is the Parliamentary Undersecretary for State for Victims and Tackling Violence Against Women and Girls. Mm. So this is basically like the feminist caucus that's abandoning Starmer. And then we started getting leaked messages from the Starmer bunker. And some of these are just amazing. This one I think is the most important one, from Natasha Irons. Bottom line, changing leader because Nigel Farage has forced us to is not something any of us can come back from. Anyone who thinks we can needs to wake up. And that's true. Natasha Irons is
Is it Nigel Farage or is it the fact that your vote's collapsing? I mean...
Well, the problem is Farage framed his campaign as vote for us in the locals, get Starmer out.
What,
and everyone was like, well,
yes,
we're not voting for the government, Nigel. But obviously Farage knows this. He just knew that it would become politically untenable for Starmer to stay. Mm. And that there'd be a lot of pressure going, look, our party's getting creamed here. Starmer, you've got to go because everyone hates you. You are the most unpopular Prime Minister that we've ever had. Yes. Labour is getting historically low vote shares. It looks like we're literally jumping off the precipice here. So saying get Starmer out is actually not terrible messaging.
No. Can you just go back one to your resignation tracker? There we go. 86. Oh, okay, so it's up to 88. So from while we've been sat here.
Right, yeah.
Two more.
Yep.
I mean what it's going to be by the end of the week.
But they're in this double bind
where
if they do go, yeah, you know, we're going to have to get rid of Samba. Well, guess what Farage comes out and does? I told you.
Yep.
I'm the winner here. Now we need to call a general election because nobody wants the country here. You're already doing what I say.
Yep.
What's your excuse not to? And Natasha, who's one of Starmer's 2024 new MPs, is right on the money. She's like, well, you know, we haven't got long histories in our own constituencies. We haven't got like solid bases.
Yes.
Like we're not going to win.
Yeah.
It's going to be a bloodbath where literally like 400 Labour MPs never see the inside of Parliament again. We can't do this. And she's not wrong.
Yeah, but it's not that they've got any good choices.
And, well, that's another reason why they can't do this. We'll come back.
I didn't mean just as in who to replace him. I mean, that is his own problem. But doing nothing is disastrous, and doing something is disastrous, as she points out. I mean, there was no option that is not head on a spike at this point.
But doing nothing is disastrous tomorrow. Like, you know, further down the line. Doing something today is disastrous now. And yes. So if we do nothing, and maybe in a year's time, things have turned around, who knows, right? It might still be disastrous now. But it's better than sort of collapsing the singularity and having the disaster happen right this second.
You're saying that actually the least worst thing to do is just to ride Starmer out and collect your MP's salary.
Yes.
Accumulate your MP's pension years.
Yeah.
For 3 more years, because I mean that's the giving up position.
Yeah, because I mean, like Natasha Irons, for example, she was some sort of social media producer for Channel 4, so she'd have been on like 50 grand a year at the most.
Right, and now she's on
nearly 100 grand.
Well, it's probably 120 once you take the expenses
and all that. Yeah, exactly. Right. So, I mean, if I were her, I'd be like, yeah, I'd rather just sit here and be hated by the country for 3 years and then bounce and do something else afterwards, right? At least you get the money. And this is why 100 Labour MPs have signed a letter saying now's not the time for a leadership election. So actually, if you look at, oh, there's 86 who are saying no. Okay, but that's not so, democratically so this, majority
so
here,
so this
is
the fascinating dilemma that they've got. The established MPs, they're thinking, I can probably cling on to my...
Clive Lewis, John McDonnell, Diane Abbott.
All the names that you recognise, they're all thinking, I can probably hang on to my seat. How does the Labour Party itself survive as an electoral force going forward?
Yes.
Whereas the recent intake are like, I know that I'm going. So I'm willing to stay on this burning cruise ship for the next 3 years and just hope that it doesn't sink.
Exactly. That's exactly it. And so we have actually more people who are actually dependent on Starmer for their positions than those people who want to see the Labour Party survive.
Because there was a big intake at the last election.
A huge intake of newbies. Yep. And so Starmer is actually not in as weak a position as people think. And I said this before. Starmer has this wrapped up. And everyone yesterday was saying, he's going to be gone by the end of the day. And I was like, I don't think so. I think he's going to stick it out.
I don't know. If I was going to have a £10 flutter on this, it would be that he goes by the end of the week. But you're firmly in the camp that he stays to the end of the week, are you?
I am, yeah. And so Starmer, right? His defence minister, Luke Pollard, being like, I'm not resigning. Whatever else is happening, we will be continuing our efforts to support, to rearm, rebuild the United Armed Forces and protect the UK. Yeah. We're just going to do our jobs. We're just going to get on with it. You carry on with this, right? And so Starmer, he had a bunch of like ministerial aides, his own cabinet ministers resigning. Mm-hmm. And when this happened to like Rishi Sunak or whoever else, Boris Johnson, like, oh God, you know, we've got to worry about the future of the party. Well, what if you don't care about the future of the party, right?
Yep.
You can just replace them. You can just assign new people.
Boris had this though. He had, was it maybe 4, maybe 5 days? I'm not remembering now.
Yeah.
Where he was just regularly replacing people day in, day out.
Yes. And it was clown show.
Yeah.
And everyone, you know, the media were like, my God, this is a party that's bleeding out, a prime minister that's bleeding out.
We were only on day one of him doing this.
Yes. And he's decided, you know what, I can find these dependents who need me because these people haven't got established constituencies, aren't brand name MPs.
Yes.
And I can just shove them in. No, it's your turn.
He won't get anything done from this point.
Because I know.
The real power of an MP, of a prime minister, is patronage.
Yes.
Right. And it's people think that he can get stuff done as much as anything. Politics is still ultimately about moving people around and getting people to do things. If people believe he no longer has the power of patronage, apart from replacing existing ministers, but outside of that network, he might get his breakfast clubs away, but that'll be it.
He's burnt all of his political capital just securing his position.
Yes.
Right. And so that's great from the position of the right. Right. So Starmer, the big fear is he's going to destroy the country. Well, if he can't do anything, he actually can't destroy the country. So we can actually bank a few of the positive things that he's done. He got net immigration down by 70%. Yes. He didn't drag us into a war with Iran. Right. These are actually moderately impressive things.
Do you want to take that tenner bet? When we meet here next week, a tenner to me if he goes, sure. Tenner to you. Right.
Sure. We'll take a tenner bet.
Bet made.
I'm not a betting man, but we'll take it.
Right.
And so you're right, he can't really do anything And he will just be in this constant state of fending off challengers as the polls continue to collapse. So what we are watching is a man who is just too selfish to know when his time is up and has decided to use the power of his office and the power of the fact that he's got 300 dependent MPs on him.
Yes.
To just, no, I don't have to.
I mean, I kind of admire it in one sense.
Well, I quite like it because this is great for the right.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this is the
My preferred outcome.
Oh, it's brilliant. It's, I would have asked him to do this. I have been on Twitter, like, kid, you've got to stick this out. We could be looking at the actual end of the Labour Party as a political party forever if you just hold the line. And not just that, like, the left generally, no, everyone's watching this kind of disrespectful politics going on and the kind of backbiting and, you know, everything they said about the Conservatives. This is way worse.
But it didn't work for the Tories. So they changed from Boris Johnson, who had become unpopular over COVID, to Rishi Sunak, who had quite high personal numbers of people liking him. Didn't make a damn difference.
Not at all.
Because people realised, oh, actually, no, it's not the leader. It's just that this party is rotten.
Yes.
So I don't mind him being swapped for somebody, even Angela Rayner, who's got some personality, because people realise, oh, wait, all of these problems are still here.
Yes.
It's not the leader. It's that Labour just needs to be destroyed.
Yes.
So either way, we get there.
And so the longer he holds out, the better. Mm. And he's just going to be going to a meeting with apprentices tomorrow to underline the government's drive to overhaul the apprenticeship system.
I bet he talks about bloody breakfast clubs again.
Absolutely, yes. Right? The point being, he's just going to power through it and carry on as if nothing's happening, which is amazing. He's just come out and he had a cabinet meeting today, obviously. And you can imagine how tense this Starmer bunker meeting was, right? But he told the cabinet, as I said yesterday, I take responsibility for the election results. I'm sorry, I'll put the Keir Starmer voice on. And I take responsibility for delivering the change we promised. The past 48 hours have been destabilising for the government, and that is a real economic cost for our country and families. The Labour Party, I mean, you've seen the bond markets today, right?
Yeah.
Atrocious. Like, led by donkeys, just have are never allowed to talk about Liz Truss ever again. Right.
Yes.
It'll just always be thrown in the face. No, this is way worse, you know, under Starmer.
Well, and Liz Truss was a blip, which kind of engineered by the Bank of England. This is a grinding.
They did this to themselves.
Yeah, and the reason why it matters when it's grinding is because not only is there the new debt issuance because they can't make their sums add up, but we're having to roll over old debt all the time. And we're already at the point now where I don't know if we have a minister for debt, but if we do, he would have the biggest department in the government.
Wouldn't want to be that guy.
Yeah.
But as you can see, the Labour Party has a process for challenging a leader, and that has not been triggered. Oh, that's an interesting statement.
That is so Starmer. The rules technically say whatever.
But it's also so the soft left.
Yeah.
We're going to sign a letter, Keir, asking you, there are 86 of us, we want you to leave.
Yes.
We'll trigger the process then. Well, we're not going to do that. Like, you cowards. You absolute cowards.
Yeah.
Like you're watching your party on the road to destruction, and you're like, well, we're going to have to ask him really nicely.
Yeah.
It's like, no, you could take executive action here. There is a mechanism, and you didn't. So Starmer's,
you got the numbers.
Yeah, you've got the numbers. And so Starmer's just like, no, I don't care, right? So Starmer's like, no, I'm not resigning. No leadership challenge has been triggered. So ministers looking glum entering number 10. They're just like, what are we going to do? No, you are not lions, right? You do not have the balls to step forward. And so Starmer is basically just taking them on a death march at this point. Like, he's just marching them like a baton death march for his own party, and he doesn't care.
It's like that meme of the tram coming across the track with all the bodies on the track.
Yeah. You can stop at any time, but Starmer's
You're a Labour minister. You're on the track. You can stand up at any time.
What? Yeah. All it takes is one of you to stand up and actually trigger the challenge.
Yes.
And yet, nothing's happening.
God, they're such wimps.
It's so bizarre that the soft left is so, I mean, genuinely soft.
I mean, if this was a Tories, I mean, we'd already be through three prime ministers by now.
Exactly. Would have happened over and over and over. We'd probably be in a general election. But yeah, so Starmer's basically taking his part in a death march because they're too cowardly to do anything about this. And so what happened with, say, Wes Streeting? Nothing, actually. Wes Streeting went into the cabinet meeting, apparently completely cucked. Where is it? There was a lot of people apparently side-eyeing each other, but Starmer didn't bring any of it up at all. Right, there was no challenge from Wes Streeting, says Sam Coates from Sky. A number of cabinet ministers catching each other's eyes as he was speaking, But Starmer said that he won't discuss the elections or his leadership, and he'll only speak to cabinet ministers about that individually, and we're going to carry on with the agenda.
Come on, Wes.
And so Wes Streeting...
bottled it.
Absolutely bottled it. Like, absolutely cucked. Unbelievable.
I mean, we can't be too harsh, because remember, if any of these men had higher testosterone levels, they wouldn't be on the left to begin with.
Yeah. I mean,
so by virtue of the fact that they're wimps also means they're on the left, which means you just...
But it also means, because remember, Starmer purged the sort of the secure left out of his party as much as he could and marginalised them, right? So John McDonnell may well win in his own seat. You know, Clive Lewis may well win in his own seat. Diane Abbott may well win in her own seat. But they're nowhere near the government.
Mm.
He's got this, the 300 brand new faces, and people like Wes Streeting, who won their majority of 500 votes, and are going to lose the next election. So if Wes Streeting sat there and was like, no, right, that's it, Starmer, cards on the table, I'm triggering it, let's go for it. Starmer could be like, right, I'm just going to ask the king to call an election then, and you're out forever. I mean, like Starmer's probably going to lose his seat too, but he'd have a better chance than Wes Streeting. So it's just, just brutal, absolutely brutal, right? The people in the Labour Party have got no balls, and as Jess Phillips resigned, he's just Chad ignoring them.
Mm.
He literally set them all around the cabinet office and just stared them all down and was like, no, this is what's going to happen. Can we discuss the leadership? No, we can't.
In a party full of wimps.
Yeah.
Keir Starmer is the alpha male.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about the Iran war and the Strait of Hormuz. And they're like, really, is that... like, what's going on with that? Probably not that much at the moment, right? So, absolutely nothing. So, let's talk about Andy Burnham, right? Andy Burnham, who Starmer has already kept out of the limelight by preventing him from running...
sabotaged him once.
Yeah, he's already sabotaged him once. He's apparently arrived in London, like Lenin, travelling to Moscow on the train, right?
Grand Ayatollah Khomeini has arrived in Iran.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's so many... He was seen arriving at London Euston Station while Keir Starmer fights for his life. But the thing is, Keir Starmer is in a much stronger position than Andy Burnham, because Andy Burnham isn't an MP. And Andy Burnham isn't an MP because Keir Starmer prevented it. Like, sorry, I've already checkmated this chess piece you're moving to get me. You can't do that. He's gone to meet with various allies, like Angela Rayner and various others, because he says, quote, an insider source close to him says, quote, he's got a seat secured in Greater Manchester. So someone in Greater Manchester is prepared to stand down for the good of the party, for the good of Andy Burnham, for Andy Burnham to win it. Now, Andy Burnham is relatively popular, by far the most popular Labour MP.
By relatively popular, what we mean is we can't automatically assume that either Reform or Greens are going to win that seat, that Labour might have a chance.
Yeah.
But they probably don't.
Well, so he's got a 34% approval rating from all people. That's because 36% just don't know who he is.
Yeah, but...
So it's not bad, and it's not, you know, it's as good as Labour are ever going to get, right? No one in Labour is more popular than Andy Burnham, but that's not saying much because most people just don't know who he is.
Okay, so it has to be a Manchester seat because he's from Manchester and he's got the name recognition in Manchester. He's most credible in Manchester, right?
And
but it can't be a Manchester seat with too many students, otherwise they'll vote Green. It can't be a Manchester seat with too many immigrants, because they vote Green. It can't be with too many old Manchurians because they vote Reform.
You're narrowing it down quite a lot.
Yeah.
Because what's interesting is in the local elections, guess who won in Gorton and Denton?
Oh, that's an interesting... I don't know.
Yeah. In the area...
Labour?
In the area that led to the... quoting from this. In the area that led to the resignation of MP Andrew Gwynn, that led to the by-election, which saw the Green Party win their fifth seat, Reform UK won 18 of the 19 seats up for election.
Oh.
Now, that tells us a lot, doesn't it?
Well, yeah, I mean, purely mechanicalistically, you can get the Muslim vote out for a by-election, but they really can't be bothered with local elections. It tells you that the white proportion of
it's still two-thirds white and British.
Yep. that they were pretty pissed off and they were asserting themselves. Yeah, exactly. They didn't come out for Matt Goodwin. Yeah.
Yep.
Wonder why. Yeah, that's not strong for Labour.
It's terrible.
If you had told me that Labour had won 18 out of the 19, I'd be like, oh, yeah. Yeah,
sense.
Andy Burnham just needs to do blah 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 blah, and then he'd be.
And in any other time or place,
yeah,
it would have been guaranteed that it would have been Labour. But no, Reform won 18 of the 19 seats, according to ITV, and so it shows that not only did Matt Goodwin miscarry his campaign, an MP, but everyone
Hillock, though, isn't he? So,
but it also means there are no real safe seats in Manchester for Labour.
Yeah,
I mean, here's the Greater Manchester vote share. As of May 2026, in the local elections. Well, Reform got 234,000. Labour got 177,000. So, and the Greens got 147,000. So, sorry, if you're Andy Burnham, are you sure you've got a safe seat in Manchester? Are you really that sure that you don't have a bunch of, Chad patriots who are sick and tired of the Labour Party, and a bunch of foreigners who are going over to the Green Party?
Well, and you're still soft left, which is the biggest faction within the Labour Parliamentary Party.
Yes.
But it's still only like 35% of the Labour Party is soft left. Yep. So are the other 65% just going to sit there twiddling their thumbs while you try and get back into Parliament to head up the biggest faction? Because, you know, the Blue Labour are going to be doing their thing. Hard left are going to be doing their thing. The Blairites under West Streeting are going to be doing their thing. It's a lot of ducks you've got to line up for this shot to do it, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. If I was like, yeah, I've got to get back into Parliament.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying he should go somewhere other than Manchester, obviously.
No.
Because why would that succeed in any way, shape, or form? But it just doesn't look like Manchester's a sure thing.
No.
At all. I mean, Labour just bleeding their vote to Reform and the Greens. Hugely, heavily, just stuck in both sides, pouring out blood.
Yes.
Well, yeah, you would have to get really quite lucky, I think, actually, to find a really secure place.
Yeah.
And, okay, so let's assume that you do trigger a by-election. Well, what if Zach Polanski runs in it?
Yeah.
What if Zach Polanski's like, oh, right, no, we've got quite a lot of Muslims and students there. I'm going to go for it. Mm-hmm. What if Zia Yusuf went for it? I don't know, whoever, like, some bright... Who would Reform send? I can only think of Zia Yusuf off the top of my head. Mm. But let's assume they don't send Matt Goodwin and someone who's actually...
Assume they actually want to try and win this one.
Yeah, let's assume they actually want to try and win it,
right?
Pretty much any constituency in Manchester is basically potentially winnable for Reform with those sorts of numbers.
Oh, yeah.
So it's just like, if Reform had a very active campaign and Polanski had a very active campaign, it's entirely likely that one of them wins and Labour comes third like they did in Gorton and Denton.
And he's just given up being mayor of Manchester
for nothing
for 2 more years to try and save the Labour Party.
And fails, right?
And his faction isn't even a majority, so yeah.
So Keir Starmer, with his phenomenal unpopularity, has checkmated Andy Burnham again. Like, he's just Keir Starmer. Like, it's just crazy how he's mogging everyone, right? Everyone's looking at themselves, and like, Wed Streeting tried to see Keir Starmer after the cabinet, and Starmer just refused. Like, I'll talk to everyone individually.
Yep.
West Street is like, can I speak to you? No. He's just mocking them completely, and there's nothing they can do about it. And the thing is, it's probably for the best, right? This is what it would look like if Wes Streeting was PM in 2029. Where's Labour?
Oh.
Like, Farage would actually get his majority when... YouGov poll people saying, if Wes Streeting was Prime Minister, how would you vote in the 2029 general election? And people are just like, no, that's a thumbs down from me, bro.
I mean, I don't hate this, because both the Conservatives and Labour get properly crucifixed. I mean,
yeah, I could tolerate a Farage Prime Ministership if it meant destroying Labour and the Tories like this.
Yeah.
I could tolerate it. Now, I don't think that's going to happen. I mean, you can see Great Yarmouth is still the dark blue blob.
Yes.
It's, absolute holdout.
Well, because Wes Streeting... He's Blairite, and that has... I mean, that Blairism was...
Blairism with a weak chin. That's what he is.
Yes.
Like, he's the soft...
Without the political skill and machination.
Exactly.
But Blairism went out of favour 20 years ago.
Exactly. No one wants it. Everyone can tell this is the problem.
Yeah.
I would rather something else. And so you've got, like, the government favourability down to 14%. Like, it just can't get any worse. Well, I mean, I guess theoretically it can get worse.
Well, it can get 14 points worse, yeah. I guess.
And so, unsurprisingly, Wes Streeting just bottled it, right? He just bottled it. As Kevin Schofield, a Mirror editor, says, I'm told Andy Burnham does not plan to say anything publicly about his Labour leadership plans unless everything kicks off. He ain't doing the kicking off, says one supporter. One MP says, can't believe Wes is bottling it. If he doesn't go this time, he's done as a political force. Coward, right? Absolute weak-chinned, cucked completely. Chad, Giga Chad, Keir Starmer, goes out and is just like, I'm not talking to you. I'm going to do what I like. You haven't leveled the challenge. Therefore, I think he's going to like an owl sanctuary or something this afternoon just to look at some owls or something. It's just like, what is happening?
There was that Labour policy that they accidentally tweeted out a couple of years ago, which is everybody gets a free owl. So maybe he's... That was the tweet. Everybody gets a free owl. And so maybe that's what Keir Starmer was working on.
Maybe. But anyway, like we've covered previously, Starmer genuinely thinks he can win the next election. He is not stepping down. So at the time of recording, this is the state of play. Now, of course, he might tomorrow. But to be honest with you, I don't think he's going to.
Yeah.
I think he's got it sewn up with these newbie MPs. I think the people challenging him are piss weak. He's already checkmated Andy Burnham. None of them are putting their name forward for everyone to get behind them on.
Yes.
There's no way of getting rid of him.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I've just refreshed for the news feed. No, he has not resigned, but now we're up to 90 MPs are calling for him to resign. I mean, this is kind of...
But more than 100 are like, don't resign because we need you for our jobs. It's just... Okay.
Well, I don't know.
But this is great. Keir Starmer's taking the Labour Party down with... Right. It's so amazing. He's got a job to do. The British public elected me and I will be here until 2029 and then I'll fight the next election. Brilliant.
Oh, no, he's been telling people he wants another 10 years.
I know. And honestly, I just couldn't have asked for more. I couldn't have asked more. What? There is no greater hero to the right at the moment than Keir Starmer, the Starminator.
Yeah.
So
can he really ride the ship when it is literally disintegrating under him?
But it's because the ones, the 300 odd new ones, absolutely need him. They need him. They can't get away from him. He has this stitched up, like I've been saying. And so they haven't got the balls to be like, right, we're going to have the challenge. Because the thing is, they might even lose the challenge. Yeah. Like, if there's an internal vote and the membership votes for Starmer, because Starmer can make the argument, look, there basically isn't going to be another Labour
government. And he would run as well.
Oh, he already said he would. Yeah. Like, he'll fight it. And he's already said, look, Labour governments don't come around often, which is code for we're never getting in again. Right? No. So we've got to do what we think needs to be done now.
We've got 3 years to inflict as much damage as we possibly can.
Exactly. So we might be, and like we've said previously, like, who would you want to replace him with? Oh my God. Everyone in Labour is useless and unpopular. And like the best you've got is Andy Burnham, and Starmer's already squished him like a bug. So I don't think he's going. And I mean, hey, this might end, this might age really, really badly. Because remember, this is, we're being, by the day you get this, we recorded it the day before. And in that time, he might have come to his senses and decided.
My tenor might be safe. But I'm not feeling good about this.
I'm just saying, I don't think he's gonna. So anyway, this is what I think is what the local results have shown us, actually. Yeah. The Labour Party is on hiding nothing. Reform are on the decline. And there was one true standout success story, and that was Restore Britain.
Mm. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
It's all about life, liberty, and the pursuit of fun in Festival Country, Indiana. Explore downtown Franklin's alleys, shops, and restaurants. Soar down water slides at Freedom Springs Aquatics Park and hear live music at a local festival or concert. Capture perfect moments at visitindiana.com/festivalcountry.